Next steps for the approved plan. Once the sales and operations plan is approved, the S&OP production plan becomes the basis for monitoring and controlling manufacturing performance. The operations department is responsible for achieving the S&OP production plan. Sales and marketing are responsible for achieving the product family sales plan and the product 1009 plan. Any changes to the plan require formal management approval. Taking all of this into consideration, Exhibit 2-47 illustrates the S&OP flow within a supply chain. Exhibit 2-47. S&OP supply chain flow. The planning follows a pattern of S&OP to master scheduling, MS, to material requirements planning, MRP. At the top, in demand, sales and marketing are responsible for providing a timely and truthful sales plan. This is done early in the month so the other areas downstream can use this information to support their decision. Next, in replenishment, planners working at the distribution centers ensure that the replenishments are available to meet demand. Part of this can involve the logistics function engaging in their own version of the S&OP and resource planning processes, which would involve ensuring there is sufficient logistics capacity, for example, vehicles, drivers, carrier contracts, warehouse space, etc., for the planned inventory turnover. From there, we shift to manufacturing, where they execute the production plans. Since choices cascade downstream, it is important for everyone throughout the chain to supply timely and accurate information so the best decisions can be made to support the sales and operations planning process. Common risks to avoid. Executing S&OP best practices is hard. Planning without execution is hallucination. You simply don't get the benefits of S&OP without executing the process correctly, yet many things can get in the way. Here are mistakes to avoid that are common across industries and companies of all sizes. Indecision by senior management. Lack of participation by key players and lack of attendance enforcement by the executive sponsor. Lack of alignment between corporate strategy and S&OP. Focus on one goal. Determining a single number plan while forgetting other key aspects of S&OP. Lack of regularly held S&OP meetings. Lack of proper S&OP meeting protocol, strategic and tactical discussions and decisions. Short-term view of S&OP. Lack of objectivity because the S&OP process leader is also responsible for supply and or demand planning. Leadership focused on last month's sales rather than looking forward. Product lifecycle stages not factored in or managed as part of S&OP. External business trends not factored in. Lack of regular measurements and consistent metrics. Competition and politics between functions that slows or derails success. If an organization can avoid these mistakes, it will be well down the path of being able to execute S&OP best practices. Desired outcomes. An integrated and successful S&OP process should provide the following outcomes. No changes are made to near-term plans. This is the province of master scheduling. There is a clear process for making changes in the sales/production/inventory backlog plans, so it is the best plan for the business. Policies regarding volume/1009 are continuously improved so that future S&OP iterations become smoother. The process is customized to the given manufacturing environment, MTS, ITO, MTO, EETO. S&OP can have transformational impact within an organization by not only driving consistency against the process, but by incorporating value into the decisions. S&OP supports and aligns with the company's overall strategy. In summary, S&OP success factors include involving the executive level, well-constructed meeting agendas, regularly scheduled S&OP meetings, participation of individuals and departments from across the organization, using a collaborative process, empowering individuals at all levels to make decisions, measuring and monitoring throughout the process, support and integration of technology.